This Country Will Know Us By Name, written by Bessemer Process and read by Tiny Pink Mouse. John is restless. He's trying to pace, but it's hard to do in the walking cast. Everything else is healed, but the ankle required surgery and is taking longer than all the rest, even with Minbari medicine. You should not be walking around, Delenn scolds. She fusses more than is strictly necessary these days, but he can't bring himself to stop her. She's right, you know. Go sit. I'll bring the coffee, Jeff says with a wry smile. John sighs and sinks back down onto the couch. Some things aren't worth arguing about, especially when Delenn and Jeff agree. The information will get here when it gets here, John. Nothing we can do will improve its pace, Jeff continues as he putters around with the coffee. I'm just restless. This is the first information we've gotten out of Eridani since Earth Force took Babylon 5. Maybe they'll know what happened to my people. I will admit, I too am hoping to see the face of my old friend, Delenn says. She retrieves her own tea. She does not trust either of the humans to make it correctly, and then joins John on the couch, leaning into his warm bulk. Corwin will bring the message directly here, I made sure of it, Jeff says. It will be at least 6 more hours. He hasn't even hit orbit yet. John sighs and winds his fingers idly through Delenn's hair. I keep telling myself it will be good news, that our people will be okay. After all, the people of Babylon 5 are as much Jeff's as John's. It's just with the danger of getting this message to us. I can't believe it's anything but bad news. They've gotten rumors of Babylon 5 and official Earth Force press releases. John had worked himself up into a rage over the command going to Elizabeth Lockley, and the eventual explanation was almost worse. Nothing that they could trust, though. Rumor says Ivanova and Garibaldi are dead. Rumor says Ivanova is leading the resistance on Mars, and Garibaldi was last seen in Centauri, occupied Narn space. Rumor says Ivanova was captured and turned over to Psi-Corps, and Garibaldi is still in a Babylon 5 brig cell. All the official press releases say Babylon 5 is operating as normal under the command of Captain Elizabeth Lockley, Earth Force hero. If Babylon 5 was operating as normal, their rangers wouldn't keep ending up dead before making it into dock. If Babylon 5 was operating as normal, he wouldn't be stuck on Minbar with a 48 million credit bounty on his head. Of course, if Babylon 5 was operating as normal, he'd never have ended up here, entangled in Delenn and Jeff's love. Jeff hands him a cup of coffee and kisses him on the forehead. It's a good thing we can grow coffee here, Jeff says, as he curls up against Delenn's other side. We'd never be able to keep humans in the ranges otherwise. Or their endils are, Delenn says with a fond grin. True, Jeff says with a grin and a kiss. John is continually surprised by Jeff's open intimacy. He is the most physical of all three of them, the most emotional as well. Tension descends with the silence. John can't help but fidget with his now empty mug. If sheer willpower alone would make Corwin go faster, he'd be here now. Delenn finishes off her tea and sighs. As I doubt I can convince either of you of the benefits of meditation at this point, may I suggest we retire to the sleeping quarters? Her sly smile makes it obvious she doesn't mean for them to sleep. John catches Jeff's eye, and they share a smile over Delenn's head. Sounds good to me, John says. Of all the things Babylon 5 had taught him, that you take pleasure and love where you can find them is one of the more important lessons. Besides, he has to work off this nervous energy somehow, and baseball has yet to be imported. One concession Jeff and John have won from Delenn since their surprise wedding in the back halls of the Yidor Municipal Building: a human-style bed. It's actually imported from Centauri, as the Earth-Minbari relationship is a bit rocky right now. That, and the Centauri don't even blink when Jeff orders a bed big enough for 5. It's a good thing Delenn is one of the wealthiest people on Minbar, because Earth Force isn't paying either Jeff or John anymore, and John's bank account has been seized to pay the bounty on his head. John's learned a lot of things while exiled on Minbar. That a Warlorn's decree is legally binding no matter how crazy. That a 0.5% difference in gravity is enough to make him feel like a clumsy teenager. And that Minbar sexual politics are just as confusing and arcane as the rest of their politics. The first is how he ended up in this crazy situation. Kosh had declared, 1 is 3, 3 are 1, in front of the head of the family Mir, and apparently that's all that needs to happen for there to be a binding marriage on Minbar. The second is just a general complication on top of all the other things wrong in his life. That, and an excuse for the aides to laugh at him behind their hands. The third is the most complicated. John still doesn't exactly understand how standard Minbari sex works. He takes it for given that the warrior caste just hit one another about the head and shoulder with their pikes. The workers do something that's not polite to speak about in a religious household. John figures it's something fun and a bit earthy, especially after the comments Delenn made after walking in on him and Jeff the first time. The religious caste, however, views sex as a tantric ritual. There are probably tea breaks and poetry recitals when no humans are involved. Delenn, Jeff and John have worked out something of a compromise through failed experimentation, copious amounts of slightly embarrassing communication, and a very thorough computer database. The back of Delenn's neck, where there was once a bone crest but no longer, is extremely sensitive. Jeff takes advantage of this, twisting her hair up and out of the way before kissing his way up the back of her neck, before they even reach the bed. John watches her face light up as Jeff sucks a kiss just under her hairline. In bed, Delenn is open and easy to understand, so unlike the ambassador they had both known back on Babylon 5. She kisses her fingertips and touches John's forehead ever so gently, then runs her fingers down over his cheek, just barely touching and stops at his lips. He kisses her fingertips, and then the back of her hand, and then her lips, just as gently. They continue like that, slow and steady, as all three remove their clothes. This is the part that makes John want to rush forward, push them on the bed, and explain through demonstration that passion is not a thing to be discarded lightly. Instead, he holds on to his impatience as Jeff removes the last of Delenn's undergarments, and she is there, naked, before them. John sinks to his knees, trusting Jeff to keep Delenn upright, and runs his thumbs over her hip bones before he finds his target. Delenn is almost indistinguishable from a human below the waist, and as he kisses down the crease of her thigh, he wonders what it would be like to wake up one day to a completely foreign body. Jeff's hand curls around his on Delenn's hip, like the other man knows what he's thinking. If he looks, he knows he'll see Jeff smiling, watching him over Delenn's shoulder. Delenn's fingers are wrapped in his hair, though, and he doesn't want to lose that touch as he makes her moan with his tongue. She moves her hands from his hair to his shoulders and bucks against his mouth, gasping. It's Jeff's lube-slicked finger, not John's tongue, that has provoked the response. Soon there are three fingers, and Delenn is shivering between, urging them on. Jeff retreats to the bed, and Delenn gasps at the loss. Jeff tugs her back with him, arranging himself before letting her sink down on his cock, a move that leaves them both groaning. John watches them for a second. They are gorgeous together, his lovers. Then he joins them on the bed, careful of his leg. Delenn is wet and warm as he pushes inside of her. They are still. Jeff is only a thin stretch of skin away, and Delenn is all around them both, and John wonders how he ever thought there was anything better than this. Delenn is the one who moves first, guiding them slowly back and forth. Some days they can do this for hours, but he's too pent up and on edge, and Delenn must be able to tell. She responds to Jeff and his dual groan with a twist of her hips. It's fast after that, Jeff's hands on his hips over Delenn's, urging them on. Jeff comes first, with a hiss and a tightening of his hands on John's hips. Delenn follows in his wake, and the small, startled gasps she makes is enough for John to join them. afterwards, when the adrenaline and the lust are gone, but the fear and hope are still hanging around, I get dressed. They still have hours to wait, but now John can sit without feeling the urge to get up and pace. Dylan curls up beside him, Jeff on his other side, and they sit together for the long wait.